Hi, welcome to our podcast, Where Next? Travel with Kristen and Carol. I am Kristen.
And I am Carol.
And we're two long-term friends with a passion for travel and adventure.
Each episode, we interview people around the globe to help us decide where to go next.
In this episode, we are meeting with Franco, who was born in Turkey and is a current U.S. resident. He uncovers the hidden gems of Istanbul and guides us through some history and iconic architectures, including the Hagia Sophia, the Blue Mosque, and the Four Seasons Hotel, which was once a prison. Before we jump in, I'd like to recognize our sponsor, Kiss Naturals. Want to keep your kids off the screen and get into some creative stuff? Have them make 100% natural, made in Canada, lip balms, soaps, bath bombs, and Lava lip gloss. They will beam with pride when they have completed their DIY project. Only $24.95 each. Please visit kissnaturals.com and use the promo code TRAVEL for 20% off. You can find a link in the notes. Now on with the show.
Welcome, Franco. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we're excited to learn all about Turkey.
Well, thank you for having me. This is very exciting, and I will be cheering for my own country today. So I'll be delighted to answer any of your questions you may have.
All wonderful. Right. I guess to start, you're from Istanbul, Turkey, and how long did you spend? I'm sure you were born there, and then when did you come to the U.S.? How did that all look? How did you end up being my neighbor?
Okay, that's a good one. So I was born in the capital city called Ankara, Turkey. The most people don't know that Ankara is the capital. They think that Istanbul is the capital. So that would be probably an eye-opener for a lot of people because I come across that so many times in my life. Yeah, so yes, and I grew up in Istanbul, and I was at the age of about 8.5, 9 years old when I came to Istanbul. Up until 19.5 years old, I've been in Istanbul. Then I took off and came to the United States of America, and I landed in California. So basically, I spent a lot more years of my life here in the United States than I did back home in Turkey.
But you go back. You were there for, were you there for 6 months just recently with your mom?
It wasn't 6 months. It was almost up, like almost 3 months. This is the first year out of last 39 years that I've been in Turkey 3 times in 1 year, and I'm going back again. And reasoning behind that is my mother happens to be 88 years old and lives alone. For all these years that I spent in the United States, I always wanted to do some kind of trade business between Turkey and United States, which I wasn't able to do because of the workload that I have here in U.S. But my mother is being a good reason now, since I want to spend some of my time there. So she's really pushing me because of the situation that I'm in for me to do such a thing. So I started about 3 different trade business between Turkey. And as a matter of fact, right before this podcast, I was talking to my partner in Turkey. You guys have no idea what I'm bringing to this country in containers.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting.
Yeah. If you want to share a little, you're welcome to as well for our audience that may be interested as well.
Yes, I would like to. Okay. First of all, when I was in Turkey, this is going to be funny now, okay? And you can laugh as much as you want. So since my childhood, my hair was my everything, okay? So aging didn't really help because I lost a lot of it, right? So most people do know this because this goes viral all over in the internet, that Turkey happens to be one of the leading country as far as healthcare tourism. Okay. You wouldn't believe it. So when I was there, so I got my second hair transplant. And if I was to take this off, you will see it, but I'm not going to do that. Thank God it's not being, recorded with the video.
Yeah.
So what I did was that there is a company called Aesthetica, like Aesthetician Aesthetica.
Yeah.
I became their U.S. agent.
Oh.
And they have 4 major locations in Istanbul, and 3 happens to be in European side of Istanbul, and 1 happens to be on Asian side of Istanbul. I got my hair transplant done in the Asian side because it's close to my house. So then I became their official agent for United States. And now I am kind of, you know, advertising here to take those individuals who are in need of getting hair transplant or any other plastic surgeries back to Turkey because of the numbers are crazy in the United States, as you know.
Yeah.
$5,000-$6,000 versus $32,000-$33,000 here in the U.S.
And that's a question we ask is, what's the money like and what's it called and how does it translate to answering our questions?
That's a great question. So money is called, well, remember before European countries today became European Union countries, they were individual countries. Mm-hmm. So there's one country in Europe called Italy. They used to call their money lira, if you guys would remember.
Yep,
I remember. What do you think Turkish money is called? Lira. Just like
So they're not, are they part of the European Union then or no?
They're not. So that even back then, when the Italians did have the lira, the value of the monies were same. So in being in Turkey, you grew up with the influence of Italian culture. Mm-hmm. So if I was to take a man from Italy, especially southern Italy, and one from Greece, one from Turkey, and put them right next to each other and ask you which one is from what country, you would have a hard time determining which, that they look almost identical.
I wouldn't have known that Italy had such a big influence on Turkey, considering, you know, it's far over. I'm looking at the map, and then you've got Greece, Bulgaria, Albania, and then...
Take a look at how the boot goes down, how it comes close to Turkey.
Well, in the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah, and then there's some island that's kind of in between it. I don't know. I see Cyprus, but I'm looking at...
Cyprus, half happens to be Turkish, half happens to be Greek.
God, yes.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, so 1972 or 3, I believe, that there was a conflict. Turkish aircraft took off from Adana İncirlik, which is very bottom of the Turkey. It took them 45 minutes to capture the hub. I'm not bragging about it, but yes, that's what it happened. By the time that they took off from Greece, from Athens, Turks were already in there. So,
and I'm very surprised that part of Turkey's in Asia, like, because I see Armenia is on the eastern border.
Well, actually, only
Iraq,
small part is Europe, which is the Istanbul. Okay, let's put it this way.
Yes.
Now I'm gonna get really technical with you guys.
Okay. Geography lesson.
We love it.
There are 198 countries around the world. You can Google this information. Mm-hmm. There is only one country on the face of the earth that sits on two continents. Half portion of it is in Europe. Portion of it is in it. So we have a canal called Bosphorus, which is the Bosphorus Strait that separates Europe and Asia. That's the town that I'm from called Istanbul. Istanbul was captured by Ottoman Turks, by the Sultan name is Fatih Sultan Mehmet the Conqueror. He was only 20 years of age when he captured Istanbul.
Wow.
That's what the Ottoman Turks ended the legacy of the Eastern Roman Empire's legacy, capturing Istanbul. It's used to called Constantinople. They changed it to Istanbul. We have bridges. One of them looks like Golden Gate. It's also red at nights because they do it with lights. And we have a total of 3 bridges connects to Europe and Asia. So if you really wanted to go home to European side from my side, it takes me about 10 minutes to get to Europe from Asia.
Oh, my goodness.
Crossing the bridge.
So is everything west of Istanbul, the European,
right,
and then down to there's like a town called Kadıköy.
Kadıköy. That's exactly where I'm from.
Oh, okay. And so there's a waterway there. Is that dividing west is Europe and the east is Asia?
Okay. Take a look at it. It should say in the map that says Bosphorus Canal, Bosphorus Strait. It goes to the Black Sea, comes to Marmara Sea. You see, Marmara Sea is the inland water right under Istanbul. Do you see that big sea?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's called Marmara. Okay, remember that 1999 massive earthquake? That happened in the inside of that water. Mm. So people were drowned on the fifth floor of their home because it created a tidal wave. Yes, because it cracked right in the middle of that water in 1999, and about 9 cities were affected by it, and we had a lot of casualties.
Oh my God.
So basically, what I'm trying to say is that canal connects the Marmara Sea to the Black Sea. Mm-hmm. There is a small canal right there. That's called Bosphorus. And that Bosphorus, we have a lot of villas. We have a lot of, we call them yalı, which is zero to the water, right on the water. There are some palaces that are priceless. Mm-hmm. Ottoman palaces are right on that Bosphorus. One of them is called Dolmabahçe, where Atatürk, which is our leader, the freedom fighter, was resting after he died for a while. Then he was moved to Ankara after that.
Okay, so the bulk of Turkey is in Asia then?
Yes.
Way bigger. Okay.
There are more population, more people live on the Asian side of Turkey than the European side of Turkey.
Yeah, it looks honestly like 98-99% of Turkey is Asia. And then there's this little piece that's separated, and it's actually completely separated. There's no land touching it. And is that Bulgaria or no, it's Istanbul. Yeah, but it's next to Greece and Bulgaria, right? And there's like a little tip.
Right. We have Greece, Bulgaria, Yugoslavia. I mean, if you take a look at the border towns, like the borders of Turkey, you would see all those Balkan countries that we are surrounded with. But if you take a look at the history of European countries and Turks, and we were occupied by a lot of European countries. Mm-hmm. So we declared our independence in 1923. So basically Atatürk is the one that is a freedom fighter and gathered all his people, basically got all those European countries, the French, the German, the Italians, everybody. And the last ones were the Greeks. They were just, taken out of the country through Izmir, which is Izmir is right in the middle on the Aegean coast. It's Izmir. That's one of the most beautiful town there is in Turkey with a lot of palm trees. It's right across from the Greek island.
Izmir.
And we used to have a summer home in Çeşme, which is one of the most popular part of the summer vacation town in Turkey called Alaçatı. A-L-A-C-A-T-I. A-L-A-C-A-T-I.
Okay.
They have world's competition, windsurf competitions there pretty much every year. Right. That's an amazing place. Take a look at it. That's the number two destination around the world for people to have kites and windsurf and sailboat competitions because the water is flat. The wind is amazing. So it's an inland water. It's
beautiful bougainvillea. I see a ton of bougainvillea plants and the pictures it's showing is kind of gives me a Mexican vibe of just but beautiful.
Right. If God allows me, which we call it inshallah in Turkish, okay, inshallah means if God is willing, that's what I'm planning to retire. Alaçatı, Turkey. Yes.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It really is. Are you doing a Google images?
Yeah. I'm looking off on my computer on the side. I type in the city and then I pick the
picture. What kind of stupid question that I just asked you? You're a very smart lady.
It's smart. This is great though. Really nice. And it's funny though, because it kind of looks like it's the city is not on the water, but a couple blocks away maybe. I don't know how far away that based on the map, it could be.
It's like landlocked a little bit.
Right. Between Izmir and Alaçatı, it's about 45 minutes drive.
Okay.
Izmir being the downtown, which is one of the largest metropolitan city.
Yeah.
Alaçatı happens to be the holiday resort town.
Okay.
And take a look at Çeşme. You're going to like that one too. C-E-M-S-E.
It says
C-E-S-M-E? C-E-S-M-E, I'm sorry, yes.
Oh, no, no worries. It's right next to it. I was just looking.
Oh, yeah. They're 15 minutes apart.
Yeah.
I mean, that entire strip. And if you get bored with Turkey, you could go to Çeşme, the direct ferry boat from there to island called Chios, which is the Greek islands you can go to.
Just keep going. You're in Athens in no time if you want a little culture.
And you don't have to worry about no visa either. So I did it before. So Americans don't need a visa for Greece.
Oh, nice.
Unless it's changed.
How about for Turkey?
Turkey you do, unfortunately.
Okay.
There's so many islands between Greece and Turkey.
There used to be all Turkish islands around Ottoman times. Ottoman Turks, even the Rhodes Islands, they were all ours. I mean, if you take a look at the history of the Ottomans, we had the Southern Europe all the way up to Vienna, which is Austria. There is a square where I've been told. I never seen it with my eyes. There is a square in Vienna, in the middle of Vienna. There is a line on it that says Turks came up to this point.
Yeah.
So we were all the way up to Vienna. And all those Balkan countries, every single one of them, like entire Southern Europe, today's Turkey, entire Middle East and Northern Africa, and all those Greek islands were Turkish territories.
Wow. Yeah. I was just looking at Vienna, how far away. I mean, it's not close.
But that's Vienna, impressive.
So wait, Ottoman, or what was, spell that. I want to look that up.
Ottoman Empire, it's OTTOMAN.
Just like the chair. I was actually hearing a chair.
That's where it comes from. The name comes from that.
I was
so comfortable.
It sounds like an Ottoman chair, but I'm like, is that really it?
You know what? I am going to grab something for you guys. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm looking at restaurant Ottoman. Oh, but that looks like it's in France. Or Ottoman Turkey, I guess I'll look up.
Yeah, and there's just, because I remember before, like, so many islands in Greece. And then that one that he just mentioned, the Chios, or I think that he said is actually that is a Greek. And then I see like this line in the middle of the sea and the, I don't know if that's a division. Turkey.
Yeah.
So that, that Chios island, is that, that's a Greek island or a Turkish island?
That's island. I've been there with my wife. It's a beautiful island. When you get there, you see a lot of what we have in Turkey, like homes. I mean, Greek culture is probably, it's one of the closest culture to us as far as food, as far as architectural, the design of homes and all those older homes in Chios. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. There's so much influence. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. Hagia Sophia.
No,
it's a church that one of the oldest and biggest church that was ever built with the massive dome. It's in Istanbul called Hagia Sophia, H-A-G-I-A, Sophia, Hagia Sophia. So he converted Hagia Sophia to mosque. Hagia Sophia didn't have the minarets, but it was originally built as a Christian church, and it's a gorgeous place to visit.
Oh, wow. Istanbul.
Beautiful.
Yeah. If you were to go inside of the Hagia Sophia, I'm telling you out of an
experience.
I'm looking
at it right now.
If you look up all the way to the door, you might fall backwards. It's that high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so big. So what they did, they studied the size and how it was built. And they built right across from it. It's called Blue Mosque, Sultan Ahmed. Take a look at that one.
Okay.
It is as massive as this one. So one of them is a Christian art. The other one is a Islamic art, Muslim art.
Oh, it looks very similar.
Right. Well,
like it has extra minarets.
Right, it does. Minarets. It's got 6 minarets versus the other one has only 3 or 4. Yeah.
So we basically
copied Christians there.
Oh.
Okay. Okay, check this out. This is amazing. I didn't know until I went this time. So this is the Blue Mosque. This is the Hagia Sophia. Right in between, there is a four-seasoned hotel. You know what that hotel is all about? It is a prison, was over maybe 1,000 or 1,500 years old. They took the cells, convert them into hotel rooms. If you want to have a wedding for your son or daughter, one of the ultimate places on the face of the earth will be on the top of that hotel. On the terrace while you're looking at Europe and Asia and looking at the Christian and Muslim art. Okay.
I need to say I'm looking at it right now and they did a great job because to me it more looks like a palace.
Okay. What's the hotel called?
Four Seasons.
Oh, okay.
Four Seasons Istanbul.
Wow.
It's not cheap either. $600 a night. Wow.
Well, it's one of the most beautiful hotels there is in Istanbul though because of its location.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, I mean, just looking at it. And it looks like it's also on the water, too.
Yeah, no, I don't. Well, close enough, but not on the water, I don't think.
Well, yeah, and you're right between those two amazing mosques.
If you want to stay in a hotel that is right by Bosphorus, it's called Tarabi Hotel. That is right on Bosphorus. Let me spell Tarabya for you. Take a look at that city. It looks just like Sausalito. We have Sausalito and Tiburon here in San Francisco, and we have Bebek and Tarabya. They're identical. Can I give you guys one more to take a look at?
But
hold on to your chair on this one.
I'm
giving you the best hotel in Istanbul.
Okay.
It's called Çırağan Palace. I'm going to have to spell it. Çırağan. Çırağan Palace.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it came up.
I'm actually writing it because I want to probably.
That's right on Bosphorus. That's the most expensive and priceless hotel, they call it. It is out of this world. While you're staying in the room in the European side, you get to see the people on Asian side right across.
Wave to the other side. Let's see. Okay, I'm just getting the picture.
So it looks like phonetically Çırağan Palace. Kempinski?
Yes. That's right. We call it Çırağan Palace.
Çırağan. Okay.
Yeah, in Kempis.
Wow. Yeah, this is very regal.
Oh my God.
Wow. That would be worth a walkthrough, even if you don't stay there. This is less expensive, $400 a night.
Well, there you go. We're going to have to go there.
Oh, yeah. There's the Golden Gate Bridge there sitting, looks like. That's so funny.
Oh, wow.
If you want to see the entire town from like a top of the hill, there is a hotel called Swiss Hotel. It's on top of Istanbul that you get to see the entire Istanbul. Swiss Hotel.
Swiss Hotel.
Is it S-W-I-S-S or is it S?
Correct. Okay. Just like that. Swiss Hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know where we're going to get what kind of pictures we're going to put on Instagram.
I know. Exactly.
For this episode, some gorgeous hotels.
Oh, absolutely. Swiss Hotel is funny because it's not two separate words. It's Swiss Hotel, S-W-I-S-S-O-T-E-L, not H-O-E.
Oh, it's not hotel. It's hotel.
Hotels in Turkey is called hotels. There is no H. We do have an H in our alphabet, but they don't use the H. We say it straight hotel.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and so, they also have the word combined. It's not Swiss hotel. It's Swiss hotel.
Swiss hotel. That's what it can. Yes, they're combined.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
You were asking me earlier that I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were asking me earlier about what is the value of Turkish lira.
You're
going to be very happy with this one. Okay. Each dollar is 28 Turkish lira. So you become automatically rich going there with your $1,000. And you can spend a lot of money there and get a lot of goods out of $1,000.
Okay. So how about like a meal? What is an average meal, like a gyro or just like a plate for lunch? You know,
is it gyros?
Let's put it this way. Turkey is underrated with something that they have. And I am hopefully, I'm praying to God, I will be the first one to start in this country in a massive scale. It's called Turkish breakfast. Please write it out on Google and take a look at how it looks like. There is nothing like that around the world. Take a look at the images.
Okay. Looks good. It actually, it looks more, it's not sweet. It's more savory, or, you know, like cheeses and breads and cucumbers, olives, tomatoes.
It's called Turkish spread at breakfast, which they call it serpme kahvaltı, which is Turkish spread at breakfast. That's what you're looking at.
It looks like it's got hummus of some sort and oils.
Many types of olive oils, green oils, and also a lot of butter, different type of cheese, many different type of cheese, different type of jams. They all are served at the same time.
Oh,
Kristen, since you're my neighbor, this is what I'm going to do for you. And everybody else is going to hear this. I am going to invite you for a Turkish spread breakfast to my house as much as I can do.
Yes.
But for you to have the best of it, you have to visit Turkey.
Perfect. Sounds good. I'm in. My kids may be joining me too. You may have.
Of course. That's what I think. Yeah, your entire family is very welcome. Make sure your dear husband, which I like him so much, I think I start liking him more than I do like you. Just kidding.
Oh. He's my
he's a favorite man. I really like him. He's a great guy. Awesome. So make sure he's there with you guys.
Got it.
Perfect. Okay.
And then what was the thing that you had cooked? It was really yummy. Your wife made them. Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're talking about the filodog.
Yes.
Filodog. It's called börek.
Yeah.
It's called börek. Yeah.
Those were good. Was it spinach and feta?
Right. Just spinach and feta.
With phyllo dough. And my son will try and get one.
Right. We'll make sure we'll get you those to the same day that you come.
Okay. So how much would that breakfast cost? Just like a middle of the road place, not super high end, not super cheap, but just, you know, going out for.
Depending where you're going, really, if you were to compare it with US dollars, I mean, like at MFN, the one, the high end one that we went, it cost us about $40 to $50, including the tip. So compared to here, having something like that, it's very cheap in Turkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I see the grape leaves wrapped in a very, like the Greek.
That's called dolma.
I knew it was with a D. I was trying to remember what that was. Like, what is that?
And are there any interesting drinks that are very, you know, unique to Turkish, whether, you know, non-alcoholic or cocktail?
Right. Non-alcoholic drink is cold, which most Americans don't like, being honest, because it's made out of a plain yogurt. It's called Ayran, A-Y-A-Y-R-A-N, Ayran.
Ayran.
It looks like white milk, but to me, I grew up with it, and it is very healthy for you. But most Americans that I tried on, they don't like it.
Oh, that sounds like when you get like a probiotic yogurt drink.
Right.
Something.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, okay.
It's just handmade. You do it with a plain yogurt. All you do is just you put water inside and you put salt in it. That's it.
Oh, any sweetness?
You could do that as well, but you know the right way of doing it, having a salt in that instead of sugar. But people do put sugar in it also.
But you have the culture, right? So the culture, and then you have water and sugar. Or I'm sorry, water and salt, and then that's what makes it yogurt-y, right? That's
what. What really makes it delicious that if you were to shake it while you're making it, it comes out as a beautiful foam.
Yeah, I'm looking at some pictures.
Right,
it's mint on top looks like.
It's very, very delicious.
Which was it?
It's called Yayık Ayran.
But do you buy it? Do you buy the Ayran straight from the store?
You could do that or you could make it at home. Either way.
Okay.
And I see the recipe, or I was looking at that too. And does it have kind of like, you know how there's Greek yogurt that has a plain taste, which honestly I like, and I mix some fruit in it or something. Does it have kind of that tangy taste?
Greek yogurt and Turkish yogurt are exactly the same.
That's what I figured. Okay.
Right. Yeah. They're exactly the same.
It looks great.
Available here in US in California, about 20 minutes away from here, from me, in Danville, California, in a restaurant called Sultan's.
Oh.
That's my buddy that owns a Turkish restaurant in downtown Danville. He has 4 locations, and that's where they have the Ayran.
So
they have the Euro also. Gyro, Euro.
Yeah. Do you guys call it Euro? Euro?
No, we don't call it Euro. We call it Döner Kebab. Let me tell you why we call it Döner Kebab. Let's say here. This is the meat on the shish, right?
Yep.
It spins, right?
Yep.
That movement called dönmek in Turkish. Dönmek meaning spinning.
Okay.
Dönmek. So we call it Döner Kebab. That means the kebab that it spins. It's called Döner Kebab.
Okay.
So spinning kebab.
Oh, like a kebab.
Kebab. Yeah.
Kebab. Okay, got it. Spinning kebab. That makes sense.
It comes from Ottoman culture, and Greeks know how to advertise it better than we do. That's why you hear it as a gyro all over the country in the United States.
And it's lamb also?
Lamb and chicken. Lamb-beef combination. The second one on a different shish, it's made out of a chicken.
So thinking Turkish delight, right? That's from Turkey too?
Now you're talking. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah?
It's called baklava. That's
baklava I love. That's a
baklava is one of the most famous Turkish delight. And there's also a Turkish delight.
Yes.
It has white powder on it.
Yeah.
And yes, it's kind of gummy, like a gummy vitamins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's aphrodisia. It makes you walk on a ceiling.
Oh,
okay,
really?
So you gotta be careful with that one.
Oh, I didn't Is it just sugar? Is it jello?
I know there's like some sort of song with Turkish delight, and I guess maybe I got, I didn't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Afternoon delight? What?
Yes, yes, I got that.
You might be chasing your ex-husband around the house.
I had no idea. I really, I'm looking.
Oh yeah, and then it looks like there's you can have different flavors: ginger, clove, mint, cinnamon. Irish delight.
Yes, salted kebab in Danville, California has them all.
Oh, there's a place in Boulder, I think. There's a store.
Oh, you will find it. No, I think, in the U.S.
I like the
Turkish restaurant.
The one with chocolate covered, that looks amazing.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, correct. There's like a Fry's Turkish Delight fudge. So, but these are just candies, but there must be another kind of like, there's that kind, and then there's the candy kind, right?
Right.
I am too oblivious to this.
There is one called Manisa Mesir Macunu. That is a pure aphrodisiac.
Okay.
I don't know what would happen to me or you or anybody else once you eat that. That is a real deal.
Okay.
It's called Manisa Mesir Macunu. It comes from the part of this Aegean region called Manisa. M-A-N-I-S-A. Mesir is M-E-S-E-R. Mesir. Last one is Macunu. It's M-A-C-U-N-U. Manisa Mesir Macunu. Take a look at that one.
Had to write it down too. S-U-N-U. I wrote that down right. It looks like it looks like some plum jam or something in a jar. Is that what it is?
Yes. If you were to read it, what it does to you, you don't need to
go
Viagra for that one.
Okay. Let me go back to I was looking at images.
What is it made out of? It's just the spice in it? That has
I have no idea. I will be lying. I have.
Do they sell it to people, young people, or do you have to be 18 years
they
old?
Sell it to anybody. It's very natural. It is very healthy. It's a very good stuff. And it's also, I think it gives you a lot of energy to the kids. You know, it gives them boost.
It almost looks like it's like moji, like rice-based, is it?
It says very old tradition in the history of Mansana, Turkish sweet associated with that city. Early version were not sweet, rather spicy in flavor. It's a sweet Turkish confectionery toffee paste that originated from spicy preparation of mesir macunu. It's just like a paste. It doesn't sound like it's going to do something to you, but you're saying like it does something.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the chemical reaction.
Everybody knows that. Mesir macunu is the number one.
Oh, and there's Ottoman candy and Istanbul street food. It looks like kind of like taffy.
Right.
Interesting. Wow. I had
you
no
guys
idea.
Are really digging into it. I love
we
it.
We are into food. Yeah.
But so food wise, is that normal? It looks like also like cucumbers and fresh fruits, vegetables. I know fish is big too, right? And
very big in Turkey. Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one popular salad that I should give you, I mean, you might want to look at it. It's out of this world. It's called shepherd salad. Shepherd salad. It's called çoban salatası. But you say shepherd salad, it'll come up.
Okay. Turkish.
Oh, it looks like a Greek salad, kind of like lots of fresh.
Please don't say Greek salad.
Sorry. Yeah. My bad.
Cucumbers, tomato, feta cheese, olives.
They just did a lot of advertising, I guess, here in the U.S. or so.
Right.
But it's cucumbers.
Very Mediterranean.
Yeah, very cucumbers, red onions, tomatoes, olives, feta cheese.
Right. That's the reason I gave you that example, because you named every single one of them.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Yeah, I definitely like that. And then
you could make that at home. I mean, it is so easy to make. It takes a little bit of time, but the taste at the end, oh my.
It looks very fresh. Is there mint in it or some sort of other?
You could also put mint in it.
Oh, I think I have still so many tomatoes from my harvesting.
There you go.
Parsley. Is there parsley? Is it mint parsley? I don't know if that's in there too.
Mint is parsley. Correct.
Okay. Got it.
It's parsley.
Yeah.
Now, Carol, what state are you in?
I'm in Colorado. We just got our first winter storm and our first freeze. So we had to pick all our tomatoes, and my cupboard's just drowning in tomatoes. It's good. Yeah. So that would be a good salad to make.
Yes, I think you're ready for that.
So what are some of the sites that are popular in the city or country? Is that something that we should talk about?
Well, we talked about the mosque, but is there certain, like, oh, when you go to Istanbul, you have to see, you know, outside these mosques that, and church that you mentioned?
Yes, I would like to tell you there is a historical first mall ever was invented. It's called Covered Bazaar. It's in Istanbul, and there are 4,000 shops in there.
Oh, it's my goodness. Mall. Okay.
But let me tell you the size of the shops. There is 2 meters in square shops in there, making hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. I'm not even kidding. Because most of the Turkish gold reserves are in there. If you were to say to Google it, so Covered Bazaar in Istanbul, which is Kapalı Çarşı, you take a look at what they have inside.
It reminds me of like The Amazing Race. They always have to go to this bazaar and they have to like find these 12 different items.
That's the place.
Yeah. Okay.
I just did the mall in Istanbul. It says what's the most famous one is it says...
You say Covered Bazaar or say Kapalı Çarşı, which is K-A-P-I-L-I.
Oh, so it's indoor, huh?
Yes, it's all indoor.
And then Carsi, C-A-R-S-I?
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Wow, this is
the historical mall was ever invented. There are 4,000 shops in there.
This looks, yeah, really neat. So is there a map to get around? Like you can buy shoes or belts or food. Just everything it looks like, huh?
I'm sure there is, man. I don't know. But you guys are typical Americans. I knew that you were going to ask that.
Where's the kiosk? I see plates, like painted plates that look like they're metal. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you could probably spend all day in there, huh?
Yeah, you can spend an entire day or a weekend. Day is not enough.
Okay.
You can spend
an air conditioned
weekend. And you know what? They love Americans there because you know why? Because Americans are the only ones that tip well. Europeans don't tip at all.
Okay. Yeah. So do we want to haggle when we go there? Is it we like to what degree do you want to negotiate the price?
Oh, you mean as far as negotiation with them?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, unfortunately, I'm going to have to tell you this because God is listening. I cannot lie to you about this. When they see you're a foreigner, you are going to, let's say,
price
you're buying
price.
This, mm-hmm. you're going to get it 3 more times than what it's supposed to be.
That's
okay. Nice. So you have to negotiate.
$9 I paid for that bottle of water at the Chase Center last night, and they unscrewed the lid because they didn't want trash. And I was like, you've got
$9 for water? Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes. Okay. So do negotiate because they see you're a foreigner and they're like, okay.
Right.
I'm in trouble because I'm an obvious foreigner.
Let me give you guys a clue. If you happen to connect yourself with someone like me, moi, that you would never get screwed by tourists.
Perfect. Okay. I'll just make sure I go with you.
Okay. Yes, you have to start doing tours.
Yeah, there you go. You're going to do your own.
Do the hair replacement / shopping tour.
Well, and okay, so I have to also ask a question about, because I love being outdoors and active. Like, what do most of the turkeys do for activities and keeping in shape or just having fun? And are there mountains and kind of nature?
Nice.
I'd love to learn about that. And the weather.
Well, when you hang out in the Aegean part and of course the Mediterranean part of Turkey, there are a lot of hiking trails. Parachuting is very hot in Turkey. And Cappadocia balloon rides, the hot balloon, air balloons rides are pretty popular. People love those. And as far as water sports, I just want to let you know that I'm very proud of it. I have to tell you guys this. You guys probably never heard of it, or you never will. Turkish women's team, Turkish volleyball team, got the world championship. And right after, they got the European championship.
Wow.
The only team in the face of the earth got both back-to-back in a row.
Wow.
European championship and world championship.
Wow.
They beat United States. I cannot believe it. It is such a big sport here because my daughters are volleyball players. I know how big it is here, how competitive it is.
Yeah.
Country like Turkey to become the world champion beating US and China. We played the finals with China.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Congrats. Wow. Oh, gosh.
That's amazing. Yeah. Hey, I was just looking also, I guess I'm going to ask you because I'm all about the whole nature side of things, but was looking up. It says 15 beautiful places in Turkey that you should be on your bucket list. And the second one is the one I noticed was Cappadocia in the...
Cappadocia hot air balloons.
There's like the kind of...
Fairy chimneys. We call them fairy chimneys.
Yes.
Those are natural. Those are all natural. They're not man-made.
No.
Those are caves. Those are hotels and motels and restaurants inside of those.
Really?
What's it called? I'm not catching up here.
Cappadocia. And it's
Cappadocia.
Anatolian region. Anatolian region.
Oh, yeah, this looks like kind of like Moab. If anyone's been to the Needles National Park, but it's like Moab, it's red. But look at the
make up strange natural sculptures formed by Mother Nature. As other uses throughout history, local carved homes, churches that got carved into it.
I feel like I've seen these kind of pictures. Is this also near Istanbul? Like I'm looking at this.
Where is far away from Istanbul. It's Anatolia. That's where I was born. Anatolia. Remember I said Ankara?
Yeah.
It's Anatolia region, middle of Turkey. That's where they're at.
Oh, I think that's what the last time we interviewed someone from Turkey, that's what he had been, because he had these pictures of all this white sand where he was.
You're talking about Pamukkale, Cotton Castle.
That's the number one on here. Well, it's the first
that's
one.
Pamukkale. You're talking about Pamukkale, which is, it's a limestone. Those are limestones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Japanese government came to Turkey. They wanted to rent that for 99 years, that mountain, entire Pamukkale region. They wanted to blow up the entire mountain to get more out of that mountain because that mountain has a lot more inside of it. They were going to do the entire mountain like a cotton castle, and they were going to have windsurf areas, you know, the kite areas. They were going to build hotels, motels. Turkish government went against it. So they didn't let them.
Okay.
And then what about like getting around transportation? Is there high-speed trains, buses? Do you want to rent a car?
That's great. You know, that's very interesting. You asked me that question. Getting around is super easy in Istanbul. You could almost think like it's like a downtown New York. Mm. There are all kinds of metros, trains, and a lot of minibuses. And I mean, it is taxi cabs are very cheap. Taxi cabs are, if you were to compare it here, probably I would say 1/4 of what you pay here than what you pay in for the distance.
Do you need to worry about like legit taxis versus scam taxis at all? Or?
Well, there are Uber in Turkey, but the way that Uber works, the individuals cannot do Ubers in Turkey. Your Uber driver will be a taxi cab coming to you. So it was banned in Turkey. Uber tried to make it in Turkey. They did. But the taxi drivers lobbied against it. And that Uber lost and they had to leave. So the taxis do Uber now. You can Uber a taxi cab. They would come and pick you up.
Oh, so they're using the Uber technology?
Yes. They do use Uber technology for taxis.
Brilliant.
Yeah. We should do that here. Yeah.
We use a lot of those everywhere.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then what's the weather like and the various times of year and what is the good time to go and visit?
That's a great question. Okay. I'm going to be really honest with you guys about that. Okay.
Please.
So climate is just like San Diego in Southern Turkey.
Perfect.
Very similar. Very similar climate. The best time to go to Turkey for summer vacation would be May and June. You don't want to be in Turkey, anywhere in Turkey, July and August.
Too hot.
Oh, hot and humid. It's just too much moisture in the air.
Okay.
September, October is another best time to be in Turkey. Mm-hmm. Schools are out. I mean, the schools are in. Okay, the kids are gone. And you'll have a great vacation in Turkey around that time.
Oh, fantastic.
What about the winter? Does it rain a lot or does it get too chilly?
Istanbul has four seasons. Mm-hmm. It rains. It has four seasons. And And what we do is metropolitan society. There is a city called Bursa, B-U-R-S-A. It's only an hour and a half from Istanbul, B-U-R-S-A, mm-hmm. which used to be the capital city of the Ottoman Empire.
Okay.
That was the capital of the Ottomans, Ottoman Turks. Bursa. Okay. So we go to Bursa. There's a mountain called Great Mountain, Uludağ, U-L-U-D-A-G.
Okay.
That's where you go for skiing, just like we go to Tahoe.
Oh, okay. And then what about like more the southern parts? Are there other areas that maybe February, March that is nice with the Greek islands at all, or is it just too cold?
Well, the thing is, the very southern part of Turkey, it's almost summer all year round. Very southern part I'm talking about.
Aegean like Cyprus?
War, Mediterranean War, exactly. Yeah. It is just like San Diego.
Okay.
So I was looking at Uludag, the mountain, and it's a little below, well, that Marmar, I don't have
Marmara Sea. Marmara Sea.
That, and it's on this, but Istanbul is right above it. So is there snow in Istanbul too?
Yes. Usually growing up, when we celebrate a New Year, they don't celebrate Christmas, as you know, and because they're not Christians, really. Mm. And so when we do celebrate New Year's, I remember growing up, when we would wake up to the new day of the new year, it would be all covered with white, but the entire stuff would be covered in white.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So what was it? So you're going to go back. You've been back. What's a typical day? What do you like to do when you're there?
Well, so if it's a weekend, the best way to start your weekend, like either Saturday or Sunday, is having that Turkish spread at breakfast.
Yes. Yeah.
We usually don't do it at home because the restaurants, there are a lot of restaurants in Istanbul. I mean, take the restaurant count in San Francisco Bay Area, multiply it with two or maybe even three.
Oh, wow.
There's so many restaurants.
And is it like a buffet style, or they just bring it to your table?
You just don't do buffet in Turkey unless you're still in big hotels or holiday resorts.
Got it. Okay.
So they do serve you. They bring it on a large trays, trays, and bring it on your table and just spread it for you.
Nice. Oh, fantastic. So you do that, and then what do you do? Or what do people do?
I'm a sailor, so I live right by Marmara Sea, and my mother still lives there. So I belong to a club called Istanbul Yelken Kulübü, Istanbul Sailing Club.
Okay.
I go and get on a boat, and I go to Princess Islands. Mm. Those famous Princess Islands are in Marmara Sea, off the shore of Istanbul. You can see those are about seven islands there.
I'm going to look that up.
They're beautiful. You know where the Kadıköy is? Kadıköy, that she saw Kadıköy earlier. I said that I was from that region, that area.
Oh, yeah.
They're right across, if you can see it in the water right there. You can say, this is what you could say, A-D-A-L-A-R, Adalar of Istanbul.
Yeah.
It'll come up. They're gorgeous.
Okay. So I've seen the islands, and then, wow, the pictures here.
I used to take my boats when I was a little kid. I mean, as big as your table that you're sitting on right now.
Yeah.
I used to go to those islands.
Wow. You know, so is the water, it's pretty calm because it's very protected. It's
pretty calm. Because the thing is, first of all, you don't have a shark in that water. It's an inland water. Yeah, you have no shark problems there. Yeah. Even if you sink, you don't have to worry about it. Okay.
Yeah.
And it is, since it's an inland water, you don't have big waves like you do here in the ocean. Here.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, it makes it very safe. Mm-hmm. But being a 9-10 years old kid, you don't just get on the boat and go to Princess Islands, but that's what we used to do.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty amazing.
My parents did never know that.
Oh, they didn't. Oh, okay. Don't share this with your mother.
Actually, I think you will share it with your mom. So hi, Mom. And sorry you did that, but hey, you're here. So that's good. These islands, they're big. They're pretty big.
They're very big. One of them is called Big Island, which is Büyükada. The other one is called Heybeli. That's also big. And the one that we spend most time with my family is called Kınalı. Kınalı. K-I-N-A-L-I.
And are there any of these islands, or so many, you know, throughout Turkey that are there that is just for like nature preserves or?
Rules and regulations are not like what we have in the United States there. You know, it's about who you know in Turkey. Okay. You know, if you really want to do something like in an area that it's not supposed to be constructed, like you cannot build on, there is a way that you could do it in Turkey.
Okay. So there are people like living on most islands. And
the people, rich people, will buy their way out and do some amazing stuff in areas that they're not supposed to.
Oh,
okay. You know what you guys taught me today? I had never knew that in a podcast or a talk like what we were having earlier, there is a rapid fire questions at the end. I think this must be the way to do this, right?
Well, yeah, there are some people I see a lot of this or that, you know, ask people, but yeah, so we ask the same questions to everyone and then, because right. We're collecting this for everyone. So the first question, is there a certain popular holiday tradition that you really love? I mean, you did mention New Year's where there's, you know, snow, but anything,
there
any specific holidays?
Right. Well, there are religious holidays in Turkey. You know that Turkey is about 99% are all Muslims.
Oh, okay.
They're not Arabs. Turks are not Arabs, but they're Muslims.
Okay.
So people get confused when you say Muslim, they automatically think you're supposed to be Arab.
So do they do that where they just stop at a certain yes. time of day and everyone prays?
He's going to be stopping very shortly.
Oh, okay.
That's why we did this earlier.
Okay. Right.
The call for the prayer is called Ezan. Ezan. Ezan. Okay. So the reason I mentioned that, because there is one religious holiday where the Muslims, they sacrifice sheep. Yes, I know. But the thing is, sweetie, you don't see it, but in this country, they slaughter animals every day for us to eat.
Right.
We do it in a religious way with the prayers. We only feed the needy, that who doesn't eat meat ever in their life if they don't have that. They give it to the poor people.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? So only the poor benefits out of that.
Oh,
you're nice. Not supposed to have alcohol with it because it's a holy meat. Mm. You're supposed to feed the families that they cannot afford it because meat is one of the most expensive food that you could buy, necessity for you to eat that you can buy in Turkey. And there is, if you take a look at the Islamic stories, like Islamic history, there is a reason that sheep needs to be sacrificed.
And when holiday? What's that holiday called?
It's called Kurban Bayramı. Kurban.
Kurban. Okay.
Kurban means that sheep is being sacrificed. It's called Kurban.
Okay. And when does that happen?
You got me on that.
Or just the month?
Well, it changes every year. It comes, I believe, 10 days to 12 days ahead of time. Like it comes closer to the winter now. It's a Ramadan.
Oh, Ramadan.
Says June 16th. Oh, this I think different. It says EIDALADHA.
Yeah, one of them is called Ramadan, that where we fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The other one is called Şeker Bayramı, which is the candy celebrations. That's also a holy one. So that's what the people give you a lot of Turkish delights.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Okay.
It keeps bringing up this EID, Eid al-Adha.
Eid Mubarak. It's Eid where we do it's Ramadan. That's what
okay.
it is.
Okay. That's probably Eid. It.
That's a yeah. Ramadan.
Because it says Kurban. It says Kurban.
Kurban.
B-A-Y-R-A-M-I, Istanbul as well. Right. Well, and also that Kurban, the first one you mentioned, it looks like it said it's 4 days. The celebration goes
4 days.
4 days.
4 days, exactly. That's they don't work 4 days and yeah, they celebrate for 4 days straight.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We already talked a lot about breakfast, so I won't go into that. But what would you say if you get one Turkish meal, what would you want to eat?
Meal?
Yeah.
Karni yarık. It's a stuffed eggplant. That's the stuffed eggplant.
Karni yarık?
Karni yarık. K-A-R-N-I. The second word is Y-A-R-I-K. Karni yarık.
Is it vegetarian or is it stuffed with meat?
Well, stuffed with meat, but the eggplant. It's like an outside that you put it in an eggplant. It's like
It's like sliced and cut open, almost like
exactly.
the papers that
exactly.
you pull out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how delicious that food is.
It sounds sautéed, chopped onions, garlic, black pepper, tomatoes, green pepper, parsley, ground meat.
It's my all-time favorite. I could have it breakfast, lunch, or dinner every day.
Okay. Oh, that's great. That's
yummy.
Yeah. And is there any specific Turkish music?
Turkish music. That's a very good one. Well, Turkish pop is pretty famous around the world.
Oh, okay.
And Tarkan happens to be a man that went to school in New York. His name is T-A-R-K-A-N.
Okay.
And he became pretty famous even in the United States. And now his one song was translated in 44 languages. It's called Kiss Kiss Song. Kiss Kiss?
Kiss Kiss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kiss Kiss Song by Tarkan, T-A-R-K-A-N.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Listen to that.
That song was translated in 44 languages around the world.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. And closest surfing. It doesn't sound like there's much surfing unless we do the wake surfing in a boat because there's not a lot of waves.
Surfing takes place in Alaçatı, Turkey. Alaçatı is a surfer's paradise, let's call it.
Oh, okay.
Windsurfing paradise. Yes.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. And how about safety? Just last question.
Safety is a very important thing. So safety, I know there's a lot going on around the country, but when you're in the Aegean and kind of European side of Turkey, you're pretty protected because you're too far away from what's going on the borders, Syria, Iraq, Iran. So as far as your safety in touristic areas and Istanbul and everywhere else, nothing really going on. There's no terrorism there at the moment. Nice. Thank God. But, you know, if it happens in the future, of course, I cannot see the future. But right now, it is safe to go. But unfortunately, when you try to get a ticket to Turkey as a U.S. citizen, you are going to get warnings.
Oh, okay.
Going to give you the red warnings.
Okay.
And they're going to say that think twice before you go.
Mm,
you know, but okay. We just came and my daughters are American. I'm a fake American. They're real deal Americans. They were born here. So they saw and they every time they go there, they fall in love with it. Yeah. But other than that, I really appreciate for your time. And I'm delighted that we did this. I never done anything like this in my lifetime.
Okay. Thank you.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Carol.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to be with you. I appreciate that. We'll talk.
Have a great weekend. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Have a great day. Take care, you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, can you please take a second and do a quick follow of the show and rate us in your podcast app? And if you have a minute, we would really appreciate a review. Following and rating is the best way to support us. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. We're at Where Next Podcast. Thanks again.